under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Coke. Colosimo.
Present.
Cott.
Here.
Milshewski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Bunkhauser.
Here.
Tarulis. Teeling.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? No presentations, no public hearings. Do we have any citizen comment?
One at a time, please.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Cott.
Aye.
Motion passes.
I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of regular city council meetings of February 9th, 2016 and February 23rd, 2016 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'll entertain a motion to authorize the purchase of two vehicles for... Motion to authorize the purchase and build-out of two 2016 Chevy Impala vehicles in a total amount not to exceed $52,000.
Second.
Comments or questions on the vehicles? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate the chief on this.
Service that he was attempting to do for the community is long gone because people run, because not only can you hear this vehicle from a mile away, but it does not go in reverse and it only goes forward in third gear. It is the funniest car, and they give it to the CSO and it's kind of funny. Like, here, drive this. And there's not much service you can do when it goes down the road. So congratulations, Chief. I know it's been a long time coming.
I'm sorry, Rich, I had no idea.
We did.
Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Cott.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Polosima.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Teeling.
Aye.
Motion passes.
No committee reports. No park board, no planning commission. No ZBA, city council, city clerk report.
No report.
And community and liaison reports. Any staff reports?
No reports.
Alright. Tell us how much money we don't need.
As a reminder, we do have a five-year budget tool,
Everything fiscal year 18 and beyond are planning tools for the city council just to see the impact of your decisions, and that we're only actually approving the fiscal year 17 budget column. So things look about the same as they did last year, and even the past 2 years. So we have, you know, some sort of modest outlook in the next year or two, but then now we are tailing off. That's what this looks like graphically. So the blue line at the bottom is last year's budget proposal over a five-year period, and the yellow line on the top is this year's budget proposal over a five-year period. So this is general fund surplus deficit, and the break-even line is the second line from the top up here. So we are running deficits in fiscal year 17 and beyond, but we hope that revenue projections are conservative, along with our expenditure projections, and then everything comes out more to our benefit, and that gets turned around. And in general, that's what's happened each year in the audit. So when you look at the actual fund balance, this is the break-even line. So last year we were tailing off a lot quicker than we were in this year's budget projection. So, you know, we still have a couple $1 million, hopefully at least through the five-year budget outlook. When you look at the entire budget added together, you know, we've got a big swing here between the current fiscal year and fiscal year 17, which is what we're talking about, mainly because of the deferment of the Countryside project. So you had a large influx of bond funds in 1 year that we thought would be spent in 1 year, but now they're actually going to occur in fiscal year 17. So the reason we're so underwater here in fiscal year 17 is because we're spending down bond proceeds, which is what we're supposed to do. On the whole, again, this is the aggregate fund balance, and I'm not sure why the numbers got cut off there, but they were there. The blue, again, is last year's budget. The yellow is this year's budget. $3 million is where we kind of start to think about fiscal distress. So last year's budget projection, you know, we were starting to get down there really somewhere in fiscal year 18. And it's good now that really we've pushed that off 2 years into the future. Last year that didn't occur, but because of better-than-expected revenue projections, we do expect fiscal distress farther off into the future, which is another good sign. So big picture, just hitting the high points here. Fund balance is above 30%, which is what our policy is, in fiscal year 17. Dipped slightly under that in fiscal year 18, but it is above 19% or so through fiscal year 20, which is actually better than what we've been showing in any year for the past few years. And the water fund, it is actually more stable than it was in last year's budget proposal. We'll get into the details on that. We don't have any fee increases planned for the water infrastructure fee, but then we also don't have any capital projects associated with our nice new water study, which will be rolling out here in the next few months. Sewer fund is the same exact plan we talked about last year. We're continuing to spend on capital projects, drawing down the fund balance over a five-year period until it eventually craters out at 5% in fiscal year 19, but then it goes back up to 20%. That's exactly what we wanted to do. We passed inflationary increases to our sewer rates, so that's actually good news. So we see that start to reverse course, and then we could actually increase some of our capital expenditures 5 years into the future. All revenue growth projections are minimal on major line items, so property taxes, sales taxes, state income taxes. We didn't even touch really on any LGDF proposals from the state. You know, last year I think was a really critical year, and the municipalities managed to push back on both Democratic and Republican efforts at the state level to withhold income taxes. So while the state's budget situation still hasn't been resolved 9 months into their fiscal year, and their overall budget outlook just continues to deteriorate, I think that the municipalities have been relatively successful in saying, you know, all you're doing is passing the buck when you cut income taxes. You're not actually solving anything, so we have to solve your problems for you. So hopefully that continues to be the case. Two part-time employee additions in the entire five-year budget. They're both in fiscal year 17. One in recreation, really to handle all the large new events that we're planning, and then also to kind of replace something that had been lost a few years ago, but they'd never be hired. And a part-time planner in the community development department. Talked about it a little bit at the last meeting when I made my comments of thanks to Christy and Kathy, but whenever we have anything that's even modestly complex that comes forward and gets submitted to the city, it eats up dozens of man hours of time for both me and Christy. That's what we do basically for, you know, a three-month period is, you know, talk to developers and worry about individual, you know, paragraphs in a section. That's very time-intensive. And so it would be very helpful for us to take things off of her and my plate, tracking of annexation agreements, et cetera, that can be done at a lower salary level, and then that gives us more time to coordinate development projects as they come in, and hopefully there will be a few of those here in the next year or so. And then funding of a lot of major capital projects, which we'll get into. Okay, so here's our general fund surplus deficit comparison, just over the five-year budget projection. Again, we talked about 19% or above through fiscal year 20, and then after that we do still have it down to 13%. So it's a lot of time, especially when you're talking about two fiscal years, that if you're right around 30%, you can make a lot of decisions on deferring capital projects or cutting expenses or increasing revenues to offset that. So that's good that that's still a couple years into the future. So water fund, again, we've got this big spike thanks to the influx of bond funds, and then we spend them down in fiscal year 17. And although this dips here in fiscal year 20, it is a lot more stable than it was in last year's budget projection, which is great. So sewer fund, graphically, that's what the spend down of the fund balance looks like, and then we start to increase after that. So that's good news, too. And then again, over the five-year budget projection, the aggregate city budget, $3 million, again, is right where we want to make sure we avoid, so we want to keep pushing that into the future. Okay, so some long-term assumptions in fiscal year 17 through 21. So this is what you're going to see across all departments. 3.5% merit increases for staff, which matches your union contracts, and then modest but undetermined increases later. And then the two new part-time staff that I talked about. 8% increase in health insurance, which has been our average over the past few years. A couple years it's been under that. Several years ago we were looking at 20 and 30% increases each year. Our initial renewals actually just came back this year. They are not favorable. They're above 15%. So we're hoping that the broker can pare those down. If not, we have to look at different plans that we can do and different things that we can do. So we are working on that. IMRF employer contribution rate is about 11% in the budget. So that's to pay all employee pensions. Then we are increasing that modestly each year, just assuming that IMRF is going to do something that's going to cause it to go up. Professional development for all staff. We're telling all department heads, all supervisors, and even all line workers, you need to have a 3 to 5 year professional development plan. It needs to include conferences, especially for supervisors and department heads. And it needs to include real training on actual tangible skills for everybody that's a line worker. So we haven't quite worked that through with every department fully, but a couple of departments that have less staff are done, and we're ready to implement that over a 3 or 5 year period, which is good. And then increases in commodity prices as they've gone up, well, except for gas, I suppose. So major initiatives, these are all of our capital projects. Really nothing new in fiscal year 17. It's all things that we planned to do last year. And in fact, Riverfront Park, we really shouldn't have been doing too much in fiscal year 17. So depending on what happens at the state level, that could get pushed off even farther. Fiscal year 18, there is one new project within this list, Route 34 Western Expansion. We knew that it was probably within the state's five-year plan last year when we did the budget, but we didn't show it because we didn't have hard numbers or state budget approval that had it in there. Since last fiscal year, that's been the one new project that's popped up. They're ready to go with it, so those numbers are actually included in the budget. And then when you get into fiscal year 19, 20, and 21, well rehabs, Route 71 has actually been pushed off again into fiscal year 19, and then some other things associated with the water flow. So, and then when you get this far up, 2021, we'll leave the projects. So again, this is what we're looking at. So every decision that you're going to make, when we talk about line items and items to note, we want to add police cars, we want to add public works, we want to add officers, large projects. We need to make sure that we have a plan to keep this graph from occurring in a more severe manner sooner rather than later. Okay, capital budget amounts. Each year, we've been trying to make sure that we spend more money than the previous year, and we've done that through issuance of bonds. So when you just look at it on a straight four-year basis, fiscal year 17 is actually even higher than it was in fiscal year 16. In Road to Better Roads, we do have about $1.7 million allocated in this year's budget, and that's between four different funds. So only about $550,000 allocated for pavement this year, although we are spending a lot more than that when you think about Route 47 and even paying off Brick Road Bridge, and 34 is going to be coming through. Those are all pavement projects, just that we don't qualify as ever better roads. So, and then the five-year plan is in the budget memo. You've tentatively adopted it last year. We would ask, as part of one of the committee approvals and then the actual budget approval, that we would adopt a new five-year plan going forward.
All right, so these next few slides basically summarize our capital project wish list, those things that we aren't able to fund this year. These are all priorities, and they're not ranked in any specific order, so if opportunities did come up, you'd have to come up with a recommendation. A couple to highlight. The first one, Drew Center, that is, if you recall, replacing the HVAC system and remodeling the kitchen, as well as South Main Street water main is a good example of one of the drastic increases in price of money came from this year to last year. Last year we were looking at this project to be about $200,000, now it's about $900,000. Continuing on, as you see at the bottom, there are three generators. These are so we can provide water in an electricity outage. Basically, if we fund the first one, well, number seven, that would be sufficient enough to supply water to the industry. And then next, Nature Center Park, that would just be replacing the current playground equipment, which its useful life is coming up, and that wouldn't be anticipated until fiscal year 18 or 19. And then next, well, number six and the water treatment plant would be looking to go by Bristol Bay Water Tower, and as we're continuing along with the water study, those plans might change depending on the outcome of that. As you all know, YDBC was disbanded in the year, and in order to keep up our economic development efforts, we contracted with Lynn. This contract goes through the end of 2018, and it does have a 30-day out clause, so in order to prepare ourselves and just assess other options, we did look into the option of having an in-house employee, and all of those pros and cons are in the memo, but basically what it comes down to is that we value the knowledge and experience that Lynn is bringing and has brought, and so that is why we are proposing budgeting for her.
Okay, Countryside we tackled last year, and the actual schedule has been delayed a year just because the water mains have been so complicated. But just as an update there, we did estimate it to be about $5.6 million. You're going to hear next week at Public Works, actually, bids came back very favorably. So we're going to have some options as it relates to the roundabout, the medians, and just potentially doing some other roadways both within the subdivision and outside of the subdivision. So that's good news. And we've done, you know, we did a public meeting at the last city council meeting, and so that project should roll out here in the next few months. Water fund, first time in a few years, it's great to report that rates have actually, or revenues have actually beat expectations. So, you know, we talked about the water fund being stable, so you're not doing any retroactive rate increases or anything, you've just got your normal 5-year schedule that you had approved a few years ago. And so that's locked in basically through fiscal year 19. So as we get through the water study, you're going to see, especially as it relates to like the Well 6 water treatment plant that Nicole had talked about, you know, there are a lot of decisions to be made probably in the next year, at least as far as which direction we want to go, whether it's Fox River water or we want to continue to build wells. And so, you know, there is like a 5 to 10 year time period where you're looking at a major expenditure having to come up. And so that's something we need to be talking about. So, but there's the actual water sales. So $103,000 above, again, which is wonderful. So wonderful in the short term. IMET, there's the update there. They actually have auctioned off some of the hotels that were seized as part of the federal investigation. So we should be recovering about $120,000 to $150,000 of that here, I would think, in a matter of weeks. IMED has been pretty good with updating us and how that's moving along. And there still are other avenues for them to pursue that I would expect to occur over the next few years. So property taxes, we're actually reducing property taxes quicker than we had expected when we approved the plan a few years ago. We thought that we would be reducing taxes at about a 1% to 2% increment through fiscal year 18 or even 19. We just the way that we estimated it, then the way that we actually did the levy ordinances, we actually had a 3% decrease in fiscal year 15 instead of 2, and that's happened a couple other times in years past. So we've drawn it down much quicker, and it's something that we'll have to revisit fiscal year 17 when we do the levy here later in December. So the good news is that, you know, property taxes are going down even more than what we expected. And the bad news is that we just then have to make a decision sooner rather than later whether we want to continue that practice in the future, given that we don't have any more non-abated property taxes. City Council goals, long section of the memo. I know that we're probably going to talk a lot about downtown planning, both as part of this budget and then in the next few months. We didn't actually put anything in the budget. One, because we're still working on the comp plan and really what we're, you know, pricing out. We're getting that shopping list together and then figuring out what the order of things that we should go in before we actually say, hey, we're going to issue a $2 million bond or a $1 million bond, or we're just going to figure out a different way to pay for it. Rob and I have talked about it. We didn't think that it would be prudent, at least from a communications to bondholders and rating agencies, that we were ready to take this risk and potentially incur a couple years of losses before private investment picks up. So rather than show that the budget is a loss initially and then an unknown, we said, let's wait until City Council's endorsed the plan as a concrete plan. That way we go to the rating agencies when we do any sort of bond issuance, we can explain it and say, here's our concrete plan basically to get this money back. Southside development, Lynn and Nicole and Christy and I are meeting weekly basically to talk about just individual sites, what we can do. We did put on there that we think that we've pegged potential either site or developer for about a $1 million incentive. They've said if you give us the land, we think that we can get a grocer to come there. So, you know, that's something that is new, but it's still far enough along that, you know, there's nothing really concrete to report other than, you know, we could at least identify that as the
do it.
Shall be done. Municipal building needs was the other big one we talked about. Nothing as far as facility planning. We talked about we want to get that maintenance report done, which actually should be like $12,000 to $13,000, so within staff authority. We have existing line items. We can pay that out. So once we understand what the shape of each building is in and what the long-term maintenance costs are, we then can figure out whether we want to upgrade the buildings or to move out and to build our own. Manufacturing and industrial, we've been talking about that in EDC, so nothing new to report there. Vehicle replacement, I know, is going to be a hot topic this year. We did actually include the full vehicle replacement schedule in there, and we at least know the target now of what we're underfunding. So, you know, even if we're only spending $100,000 a year, we're looking at about a third of what we need to be spending. So I think the first part of the battle is knowing, you know, what we're underfunding, similar to our road study. So, you know, hopefully over the next few years, we can sock some money away there, get that fund turned around. Riverfront Park development, actually Thursday, Tim has figured out a way through a bunch of his magic budgeting methods, I think, his festival planning and all that. They have a little bit more money than they had expected. So they thought that it would be a good idea to actually fund a playground construction at Riverfront Park. So that'll be a proposal that Park Board will review, the City Council will review, and potentially might move forward regardless of whether the grant is reinstated. So revenue growth is on there. We are working. We're going to conferences at the national level, the state level. We're trying to work with both the large developers in town basically to get their inline space filled in. So staffing, automation, and technology service consolidation, we're all moving forward with the incremental pieces on that at each one of the departments. So, and then there's other goals, obviously, in there, too, that we have individual parts. But those are the ones that really actually manifested itself within the budget in a line item. Bond ratings, we aren't proposing to do any city-level bond refinancings this year, but we did just complete the SSA refinancing. Again, it's huge, the fact that you can go to a resident in Dog Creek and Bristol Bay and say, your property taxes are going to go down by $286 next year, simply because everybody in the subdivision has been paying their SSAs on time, and we're able to refinance, basically, and take advantage of interest rates and the fact that the subdivision is just moving so well. So that's good news, at least in those two subdivisions. And we'll continue to look for that in some of the other subdivisions that have SSAs. One of the things I know we're going to talk about when we get into the downtown or funding some of these other capital projects is just is issuing more debt. And while we've been very diligent with identifying new revenue streams, and we've really been saddled with growth decisions that occurred in the 2000s, it is important to just kind of look at some of our surrounding communities and say, we have a higher debt per capita currently because we grew in a more spread out manner. And that, you know, when you look at Montgomery or Oswego, they've got new police stations and new city halls. That's one of the reasons we traded off large sewers and hopefully future industrial, commercial, and residential development and stuck with our city facilities. So, you know, these other communities, Oswego has grown their sales taxes by a lot over the past few years, so they are able to afford those things where we have remained steady. And then in addition, we've grown in such an aggressive manner. So, engineering department costs are still in line with what we've been seeing the past few years, so we're not recommending any change there. So we're still recommending that to the House. And then, again, this is just a recap of everything I just talked about before we get into the small picture. This yellow line is really what we need to make sure. You know, we've got $14 million right now if you just take all the fund balances together. That's because we have a large amount of bond proceeds, so we spend those down, and we need to make sure over time that this doesn't reach that $3 million. Okay, so on to the small picture then, just individual line items, and if anybody has any questions about these afterwards, obviously we can go through them. But property taxes, we talked about that, modest decrease in 17. After that, we're expecting to increase. Police pension, we talked a little bit as part of the audit, but the fiscal year taxes were actually short just because of the way the levy ordinance worked, and so we actually had to pay that out of the general fund. And then we changed some assumptions related to the police pension in fiscal year 17, so that actually decreased the corporate levy. And we talked about that when we were talking with the library about reducing their levy, too. So projecting actual growth in income taxes and sales taxes, 2%, so not a whole lot, but more than what we were assuming last year because we are seeing those actual increases. Building permits, same model as last year. You've got $130,000 in building permit-related expenses. Once we meet that in revenue, that goes into the general fund, and then everything else above and beyond that goes to capital. And then engineering expenses, if you look at the admin services line item, there is the large expenditure in that line item, but then it's offset by the reimbursements we get in the general fund. So again, we talked about all these things between individual departments, so they're on here. Just as a reminder, salaries, health insurance, all these assumptions. Admin, still budgeting for a treasurer. We haven't had it filled because we don't think that we need it, but the position hasn't been formally eliminated yet, so we just thought it was appropriate to at least budget for that. We do have a part-time NIU MPA intern, at least through fiscal year 21, even though Nicole's program is only 2 years. So we'll see what happens in the next few years. RFP for auditing services next year. Now, this will be the last year that Lauterbach and Amen under their existing contract will be serving us, so we will go out to that for next year. Police, we talked about it in the items to note a little bit at the beginning of the budget presentation, but no new officers this year just because of the long-term fiscal outlook, so we'll see what happens there. And that we still do have 30 full-time sworn officers, so we are at about regional averages, which is better than what we could say a few years ago. We do have body cameras in there. That's an automation and technology thing that Rich would like to see from an operational perspective. I also look at it and see it as, you know, just it's a community outreach assurance, and, you know, hopefully over the long term it'll reduce liabilities just on any, you know, potential issues you have with your police department. So we see that as a good thing. Community development, talked about the part-time planner that's in there. We are recommending actually to terminate the contract with Retail Coach. They've done some good work for us, but they haven't ultimately been successful. And I think through working with them, Lynn and Christy and I have a good understanding of what needs to be done on the south side in order to attract something to a specific site. So comp plan is still going to be built out in fiscal year 17. And again, we are budgeting for the cost of the economic development consultant through fiscal year 21. So because that's a higher estimate than some other options, we saw that as the most conservative way to go forward, regardless of what the city council plans to do over the next few years. So no change in mosquito control, tree and stump removal, we're still chipping away at that each year. Hanging baskets, actually with 47 being completed, and hopefully us getting our decorative streetlights here up in the next few months, that should reoccur next summer. And then garbage services, you approved a subsidy a few years ago. That has not changed. That's still in there. So admin services, I did want to point out KenCon projections have actually been lower than we had expected. We budgeted high just because we didn't know what the county board and the sheriff was going to do. The new KenCon director, the new sheriff, and then also the Kendall County Board has been good to work with, so costs are contained. And so we've reset all of our assumptions going forward based on that lower dollar amount. On IT services, we are still recommending to outsource. We will be spending about $7,000 to do a consortium assessment during the next few months. The idea being that we might be able to hire a larger IT firm in the Chicagoland region and actually join forces with some of the North Shore communities and Montgomery and Oswego, so that we can, might be able to have somebody that's on-site in Oswego and then have some additional hours here in Yorkville. So we see that as a benefit, just on like network planning and anything else that comes up security-related, you know, we'll be able to tap into a larger company. Fox Hill, we completed trail sealing last year, and then we already approved the levy in December for both Sunflower and Fox Hill. Sunflower, the naturalization contract actually ends here this year. There's still some restoration work that has to be completed. Motor fuel tax, we are drawing that down to get rid of the fund balance there through fiscal year 20. We are still proposing to close the Baseline Road Bridge. That project has just been a little bit longer in the planning stages than we expected. So hopefully in the next month or two, you'll see something in front of you on that. And then Road to Better Roads is at least stable at the motor fuel tax fund until then. So citywide capital, same projects that have been in there last year. Downtown streetlights is offsetting, and the brunt of that project is handled in the downtown TIF fund. Kennedy Road Trail should go through this year, start to be constructed. And then the Wrigley EDP intersection improvements also should be completed this year. And again, those are all grant funded. So no change to the road infrastructure fee in through fiscal year 21. As priorities change with City Council, whether it's completing more or less roads, we obviously can alter that each year going forward. So property maintenance items, I talked about the building maintenance report. That's where this is located. And again, on the expenditure side, you've got Wrigley intersection and then both the Route 34 expansion. So that Route 34 Western, again, is new this year. So if you just looked at last year and this year's budget, that's the main change. It's about $450,000 over a three-year fiscal year period. So it is a large project that we've added, but hopefully it's doable. So Countryside, again, is in there. That should be completed in the next fiscal year. And then we are still starting to pay, or we're starting to pay on the Game Farm bond. Vehicle and Equipment Fund, talked about that a little bit a few slides ago. We do have only one car in both Police and Public Works currently, and then we've got the targets there for what we really should be funding it annually to make sure that everything is turned over on the proper service levels. Debt Service Fund, we've only got one bond there, and this is where you would look if you want to see where the discussion of the non-abated property taxes go. This line item gets zeroed out on the revenue side in fiscal year 18, and so that means you have no more non-abated property taxes in the entire budget. So if you were to reverse course, this is where I'd recommend you show it, because it actually would have a direct impact on the general fund. But we are aware of that. Water fund, we talked about a little bit. The water rate is right here. I think I realized in the memo I said that I had included the Illinois State Water Service Chicago rate study. So they took all the communities in the six county region and basically made all the rates equivalent to different volumes, and then so you can see where we rank. We're right about in the middle, actually. So some of the other communities that aren't on Chicago water, like they have the Lake Michigan intake, are a little bit cheaper than what Chicago is doing, but we're competitive with a lot of other people. So that's including the water infrastructure. And we are, over a five-year period, recommending to change the water infrastructure. So we are applying for 80 new housing starts. We did 83. My guess is that if GC Housing comes online this year, you're going to break triple digits, which is huge. So, and a lot of that, hopefully, will be manifested in the water fund through increased water meter sales. So we'll see. And water connection fees. Water system study wraps up in fiscal year 17. Actually, we've got a final staff meeting, I think, at the beginning of May. So hopefully in May at Public Works, you'll be seeing what we're talking about with the regional water study and then with our own system study. Route 71 water main relocation did get delayed until fiscal year 19, if you saw that. So that project keeps getting pushed back by IDOT, which is okay with us, actually. That's a little, the $1 million water main relocation that we have to approve. We have to figure out how to pay for it. Countryside is in there too. We're going to talk about this again next week at Public Works. It came back very favorable, so we'll have some recommendation on the use of those funds. Sewer fund, there's your four-year rate schedule in there. That allows your fund basically to turn around over a five-year period. And then we don't have any changes recommended for the sewer infrastructure fee through fiscal year 21. In the sewer fund, we do have two line items that are offsetting. They are $200,000 for expenditures related to I&I improvements, and then $200,000 for YBSD. YBSD has formally verbally gotten back to me. They did say at their meeting that they could loan us money if we needed money to do improvements, which we don't need because we have fund balance, so we can use fund balance. But they are interested in actually doing more study, figuring out where they can get the biggest bang for their buck, and then actually going out and doing some improvements in town that will increase the capacity of their plant because it will reduce the flow of infiltration. So that's good news. I don't know whether that's going to occur in fiscal year 17 or not, but we'll see. Land cash fund, you know, Riverfront and Bristol Bay are still up in the air, so we'll see what happens there. But we do have Grand Reserve Park A improvements that are going to occur this year, and that was because of a past outside grant, so we're obligated to do those. Parks and Recreation Fund, talked about the Riverfront Park Playground a little bit there. You know, Tim is seeing good revenue increases both in programs, preschool events, and he's holding line on expenses. So you know, I think each year for the past few years, I've lost a bet about what his final surplus would be. So I think I owe him a couple lunches. he's doing really well in that department financially, which is good. So that's why you know we're recommending you know increases in. You know, hometown days to generate more revenue, just new events, and then you know focusing on marketing, and then also that's why he's able to you know propose things like the Riverfront Countryside TIF Fund. For the first time in several years, we're right set up in that fund through fiscal year 19. So we've seen the assessments of the Lighthouse Academy. They are actually going to push us up to about $200,000 in revenues, which is huge because our debt service is only $160,000. Through 2019. But if it's 2020, it ends up being about $210,000 when you've got a few thousand dollars in there in admin fees for legal and other costs. So, you know, hopefully through just normal revenue growth and property taxes there, you'd actually be able to still be right set up in that fund each year after fiscal year 20. So we'll see. And then you still have lots of outlots there that need to be built. So a couple more buildings like Lighthouse, or if you manage to get a large anchor tenant in there, you'd be paying off that bond even quicker than we had imagined, which is wonderful. So kudos to the developer there for getting a successful project built. Downtown TIF Fund, again, we'll talk about that. We are moving forward with getting parking study quotes. We think that'll be less than 20 grand. If it is, we'll probably authorize it to the staff level. We've contacted four firms to do that. We see that as the most obvious and most imminent need out there. Some targeted public improvements, whether that's street lights or aesthetic improvements or you know, relocating a water main that's you know under a parking lot or redoing the parking lot, potential land acquisition, you know, per whatever the comp plan recommends, and then some other development incentives. And then additionally, we are working with the Minor Threat group of restaurateurs that are that have the new or the three spaces along our restaurant row. So hopefully, you know, for the next couple months, they'll be opening a couple restaurants. So that'll bring some people downtown and increase property taxes. And then everything else that's going on downtown, both the law office and grounds, we're in frequent contact with each one of the developers and owners to make sure that they know that, you know, whatever they need, we're there basically to support them. So,
Minor Threat Group, that's the name of their...
That's their, yeah.
Huh.
That's the name of their restaurant tour company. So... and that's the group that does Sovereign and Plano. They've announced in the past couple weeks that they're ready to roll out to York, which is great. So, and then additionally, anything that we do with a redevelopment plan is probably going to, you know, include some issuance of debt. So that's something I know the EDC was in favor of. So we'll see what happens over the next few years. And then most likely, any issuance of debt would have to be coupled with an extension of the TIF term. So in order to do that, we have to go to every taxing body in our area and say, would you sign off on this, please? And if they say yes, then we would have to go to the state, ask for an extension of the TIF at that point, and then hopefully the state would agree. So that's how the process has been done in other towns. So, you know, I think we all see it that things haven't taken off quite how we expected in 2006. So I think it's probably reasonable for the other entities to at least look at that and see what's been in front of them. But you never know. We'll see. Okay, so that's it for the actual presentation. Just as far as schedule goes, tonight was the only presentation again. I will answer questions or talk about any changes that have been as part of the budget at the next meeting, and we've got the public hearing. So if anybody has any questions for me, they put them in writing. I'll make sure all the aldermen get them, that they're publicly available on the website. And then that gives you 2 meetings in April, basically, to debate amongst yourselves. And again, we have to invite people. And if anybody's interested, the full budget, including the actual Excel file that Rob and I use to do the budget, is all available on that website right there. There's also a PDF version, too, so I'll flip your Excel selection. That's it. Thank you.
What?
35 minutes. I'm sorry, I failed.
I think the cold floor will be down a little
bit. In here, right? In here. Hey, Ken.
So, Bart, with the 30% fund balance in the general fund, what does that translate to in dollars?
Oh, it's right around $4 million.
About $4 million. And then in 17, we're showing a slight deficit.
Yeah, we got about $100,000 when we looked at.
What did we project when we passed the 16 budget? We showed small deficit there too, right?
It was like $500,000 in deficit.
And what is our projected finish for 16? We're going to have a surplus, right?
We're going to have a surplus of about $200,000 right now projected for fiscal year 16.
And what was the original deficit projected at?
It was actually a slight surplus of
$10,000. Oh, okay, so we showed a surplus last year. Okay. So it's still about $200,000 swing. Okay. Anyone have any questions, comments, concerns? Yes, sir.
I think the one thing that popped out at me on under Fox Hill. So we borrowed $807,000 and we paid over $1 million in interest on it.
Yes. Yeah. The original recapture agreement was simple interest, and then we approved an amendment to it, and then the scope increased a few years later. And the city and the developer agreed to compound interest. So that interest has been sitting there. It's an obligation of the city if we don't get any money to develop between now and 2020-something.
Are there any other are there any other Fox Hills like that?
No. That's the worst one.
Okay. Now, as far as that being the worst one, is there any way to I don't think you can refinance that, but what would you do with it?
Well, we've talked in years past about either going to there's actually a bank that holds a portion of the obligation now because they sold the first $1 million to two investment groups. But I think the original developer still owns everything from the government. So we have talked in the past about bonding out, you know, at a cheaper interest rate and simple interest, and then paying off the obligation now. It's just, you know, if we think reasonably that a property owner within that recapture area is going to develop for the next 10 years, you know, it would be the city basically covering that cost for them. We could recapture it from the property owner at that point. But it is a lot of effort and a lot of risk for the city to do so.
Correct.
Wow.
What year was that change made that it wasn't compound interest?
I don't remember off the top of my head. It was done in the mid-2000s. Early 2000s.
That was over 6.
Okay. I'll go back and check. I just didn't.
Cool. And I just have one other question. On page 17, under the water fund, last sentence of the first paragraph, the city should begin to think about expenditures related to the regional water supply in the next few years. I think I speak for the class when I say, what?
So there's going to be two components of the water statement. One of them is going to say, if you don't go on Lake Michigan or Fox River Water or some other method we haven't done, you have to drill new wells. You have to put in new water treatment facilities. You have to add new water towers. And based on your growth patterns, not only that, but then also just maintaining your existing water system, you know, you're going to have millions of dollars of things we haven't even talked about yet that are going to come up in the next, you know, 5 to 25 years.
So there's that cost, potentially, that could occur. But also, if you talk about building a Fox River intake, even if you split it between three towns, it's going to be more than $100 million probably. You know, that's like $50 or $60 million for us to take on. So, you know, that could theoretically start, you know, having to be designed within a five-year budget period. So it's likely that it would be pushed off farther than that. It's just a matter of how much do you want to risk the long-term growth of the city, which we'll get into in the presentation. How soon do you think the deep water aquifer is actually going to be drawn down? And do you want to wait, or do you want to be one of the first communities to say, we're getting off the deep water aquifer, and we're going to look at other methods? So all of those costs associated with that option, we haven't even talked about itemized yet, or tried to figure out how to pay for.
Okay.
That's a big, it's a, two big unknowns.
Yeah. And it's also, the project itself is unknown, because even if we end up going in alone, it's still going to cost $100 million or more.
Less than that.
But.
Creepy.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, public hearing in 2 weeks?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir. Nice job. Any additional business? I had one quick thing. Bart and I went to a meeting yesterday with Congressman Holmgren, surrounding mayors, Gail Johnson from Oswego, Howler from Plano, myself, and then the city administrator from Montgomery, talking about Metra. The director of the board for Metra was there, and a bunch of board members. I don't know if all the board members were there or not. But we just talked about going forward with the metro station in Oswego and where we're at, and just kind of a fact-finding meeting to see where we're at and try and get everyone on the same page. But just to give you a little background on it, a number of years ago, Speaker Hastert secured about $7.5 million in funds that he earmarked for a study for a station out in Oswego. So I guess they started doing some studies on that. They started doing the phase one engineering for a station in Oswego. And when they were doing that about a year ago, Christine, Bart, and I met with the Metro people. And I seen that Oswego doesn't have room for a state for a rail yard there. Okay? So then they looked at Yorkville, and it was really the only feasible spot for a rail yard. So we got included in that phase one engineering study. And I guess simultaneously they were doing a environmental study. And Andrew Plano said, hey, we want in too. So the environmental study looks all the way out to the western portion of Kendall County. I guess when this new board president of Metro came in, they said, look, why are we spending this money on these feasibility studies when we have other priorities and Kendall County doesn't even have a plan yet. So they put a stop to those studies. And then when Gail Johnson was elected in Oswego, she really picked up the ball and tried to kickstart getting these studies going again. And that's where we're at now. Studies are at a standstill. And the Metro board president, I mean, just kind of explained that, you're looking at a project to get rail up to Kendall County here, about $200 to $300 million. You have no plan in place to really fund the operations of a metro station, and definitely don't have $200 to $300 million to fund delaying a track or anything else. So we didn't really see a reason to go forward with these studies. They're sitting there, he keeps talking about Metro has an $11 billion backlog of capital projects. And aside from that, he goes, there's a whole lot of politics that go into play when you're putting in another station. I mean, how can he go to all the members, to our members of RTA right now, and say, hey, I don't want a station on Kendall County, but extension you wanted to Joliet, or the more rolling stock, or more trains you wanted to go on the Heritage Corridor? Well, we're going to try and get something out of Kendall County. I don't think it works that way. But, they're open to it. They'd love to do the project, but he goes, you guys got to get together and talk about funding. I guess at one time, there were some rumors going around, and Tom Cross was there, which was nice. that Hastert had tucked away $75 million into a transportation bill. Congressman Holcren and his staff looked everywhere for it. They just think that maybe there's some confusion, because originally the earmark was $7.5 million. Maybe somehow they got talked into $75 million, but they see no evidence of any $75 million anywhere. But they're still looking. I mean, if they do find that there was an earmark tucked away somewhere, I mean, that's a game changer. You know, I mean, it's $75 million to start a project. But I wouldn't hold out too much hope for that. But the long and short of the meeting was, you know, Dale Johnson and the other mayors really want to get these studies finished, you know. It's really hard to go to taxpayers and say, hey, look, we want to run and join the RTA, or we want to find a funding source for this, unless we get these studies done. You know, I mean, you can't go to taxpayers and say, you know, we'd like to raise money for this, but you have nothing to show them. On the flip side, if you say Washington ever does come up with a big capital bill, this is, hey, we got millions ready for shovel-ready projects, you know. We would like to have that phase one engineering. So I guess that's where we're standing right now. And that $7.5 million they guaranteed us is ours. It's there. They're not going to divert it away from Kendall County, you know, but they just didn't really see a point in spending it unless we really pushed for it. And I think that we're going to meet again in about 2 weeks, and I want to bring this up to you guys, because we're really trying to get a consensus of, you know, do we want to finish these studies? Is it reasonable? I mean, is it worthwhile? Is it the best bang for our buck? And, you know, that's where we're at right now. Am I missing anything, Bart?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay, but like I said, my opinion is that we should go forward with the study. I mean, it's a phase one engineering study. Out of that $7.5 million that's out there, they already spent, they allocated about $2.5 million for the studies, and I think they already spent $1 million of it. You know, so after they do the studies, there's still what, $4.5-5 million sitting there that can be used for something else. But that's where we're at. I just wanted to get your guys' input and see if you think it's wise to go forward with the study. Diane?
Well, I don't have a problem going forward with the study, but how long are those studies good for, like, once they're done? Because, you know, that's my question.
Well, obviously numbers are going to change. I mean, we had studies from way back that said the extension would be about $100 million, you know, and obviously that's doubled since, I don't know when that study was, 2002 or something like that. So that's another thing.
But the numbers change, but everything else would stay the same?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's a lot of, like,
a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, that have to be solved. And one of the things that they with the rail yard, it's part of the environmental study. You know, until they actually did the study on the station, they would have never figured out that they had to include Yorkville.
Right.
They looked at the site and said, it doesn't fit in Oswego, you got to push it farther west. So there are things like that that could potentially alter, you know, the entire landscaping project that I think would be warranted to say, let's take the chance that these studies, you know, maybe 10 years from now might not be worth it, but you've got to keep the project moving along, and maybe you want to uncover something that either makes the project cheaper or more expensive.
Yes, so is the scope of the study to determine a spur, a stop, or a full-on station?
There are three components. There's a station study, so they would actually design what the station looks like and generally where they would occur. There's a rail yard study, so there's only one of those. That's end of line. That's like the industrial yard, which is how we got a station. Okay, so they would have to figure out where that would go, how much land they would need. This is all phase one environmental, like concept drawing type stuff. And then there's the environmental, just looking at each site and seeing if there's any, like, you know, soil issues or anything like that that we would do as part of our project, you know, for each one of the sites or even the individual, like, rail lines that go out there. So, you know, they might uncover, you know, bad soils. They might uncover that just the land use in a certain area doesn't, you know, doesn't work. So, you know, to me, it's like, you've got to do that somewhere or another. Right. So you might as well. Oswego is fully committed to the project. They've already spent money on land acquisition for the actual station. So, you know, I would think that as long as it keeps moving, that we would eventually be looking at doing the same thing. So, guys, I don't see why they would, you know, that we would want them to hold it off and we could continue to make progress and solve some of these issues.
Right. Well, it's also, if you take it off the table, you lose the conversation piece, and that's probably a little bit more important. and actually having money sitting there. The other question I have is if Oswego already kind of has, I mean, they're, I don't want to use any railroad cliches right now, but I really could. If they're kind of gung-ho on it, and they're only a station, the determination of our involvement would actually involve a lot larger piece of property, which there's just in the area that we're assuming it would be, it's already like two spots that would kind of fit. But is this all new track, or is this using existing track? Like, it's hard to visualize how this would work in Yorkville if there's only two sets of track.
All to be determined. I think the operating assumption is that it would have to be a third track. So, but yeah, I mean, the land use implications of not the third track necessarily, because that'd be all probably within existing railroad right away, but, you know, a rail yard could be 50 acres,
right,
something like that. So, you know, we're talking about comprehensive planning and just looking at a station stop as to where we want, like, a, you know, transit-oriented development. Well, that changes when you've got an industrial facility next to it.
Right.
The one thing that came up in the meeting that opened my eyes a little bit that I wasn't aware of, that all this is contingent on Burlington Northern allowing it.
Right.
You know, I mean, Burlington Northern could, yeah, it's their credit. I mean, they could say, no, I mean, it's going to screw up our freight deliveries, everything else, you know. So I'm not sure if they went, Metro went to them to negotiate, but I'm sure they'd get it, but I'm sure it would cost something. Chris?
One of the things that bothers me about this whole plan is Plano wants in and Sandwich wants in. Plano's struggling with their Amtrak service, with their numbers right now. They're seeing decreased numbers, and Amtrak is wanting to scale back their services, but they want a metro station as well as Sandwich. That's an additional cost to this study and to the project as a whole, whether it's $25 million, $50 million, or $100 million. That's a huge inconvenience when we're talking about Yorkville being the additional piece just on the fact of the service yard. And then we've got Sugar Grove to the north, who is trying to hone in on $7.5 million because they want their extension to come to Sugar Grove. I don't think that $7.5 million is wholly protected for the what we are actually entitled to, because we have the project on hold. And I don't feel that the RTA board really is considering us seriously with that earmark. I think that we need to be a little more vocal as a whole with Oswego on the fact that we are in this as the end-of-line service, Plano and Sandwich and Sugar Grove. No offense, but hands off. We're not even part of the original project. We're only a casualty, which, for our sake, is a good one. So I am very much inclined to push this issue to make sure that that earmark is secured and protected for us, as government has a tendency to reallocate things. I want to make sure that's not the case here, because this could be very, very beneficial. I don't think we have the ability to sustain a track ourselves in the near future, but in 15, 20 years, I think a stop would be wholly beneficial to the north side and south side.
They did say at the meeting, both Congressman Holgren and the Metro chairman, that they don't intend to divert any of the existing earmark to like a study outside of Kendall County. They do think that the earmark as drafted should be gone, should go to Kendall County studies. So, with that being said, when I was at the Metro Board 2 weeks ago, I mean, they did clarify that legally they probably could divert some of the revenue from the earmark to a Kane County study, but I think the feeling is that that just isn't the right thing to do. Both from a long-term planning and an actual intent of the earmark.
And the chairman made it pretty clear in front of all the board members there that they would not divert it away. But then the chairman changes every 2 years.
Carolyn?
Yeah, I was going to say it's politics as the chairman this year, so the chairman next year is going to say. I agree with Chris. I think that, you know, with all due respect to our friends in Plano and Sandwich, I think we're getting greedy. We don't have a train stop. We don't have the tracks coming out. We don't have anything. And now we're looking into it. Oswego obviously would be a good location for the track. We get the benefit of having the train yard in York, obviously, because we're at the end of the line. We don't even have that. And we're already having Plano jump in. Well, do the study out to us. And Sandwich jump in. Do the study out to us. But Salmonac's going to jump in and say, do the study out to us. And then Leland. And then Pawpaw. And then, I mean, where do we stop? I think we do have to support the project. I think, once again, this is one of those government things that you can't flick a switch and say, I want a train next year. It's something you have to work on, and it's a decades, two decades long project that you have to work on. You have to lay down a foundation for it. The $7.5 million is there. I think it needs to be focused on Oswego Station and us being at the end of the line. And I think any studies beyond that, we're frankly wasting the money. I think we need to focus on Oswego and Yorkville, and I think we need to support it. I think it has to come out of this council and out of the village trustees in Oswego that we are unified and we're behind it and we're going to support it, because it would be a great benefit to the residents of Kendall County to be able to jump on the train and get into the city, which right now they have to obviously drive into Aurora, which adds a considerable time to the commute. And once again, this is about planning for the future. It's not about 2 years from now our residents are going to be able to take the train. It's about what do we do 20 years from now when our residents need to take the train. Sadly, government is set up in a lose it or use it situation. And the money has been earmarked to do the studies. If we don't use it, eventually we will lose it. And it'll go to another community. So I think the focus needs to be Oswego and New Yorkville, and we should support them.
Do you have to do what Oswego did in procure land to show that you're serious?
Well, right now, I think all we got to do is get the consensus saying that we want to start this moving forward. You know, but I agree 100% with you, Carlo. And this is such an important regional project that I supported it with Brian and Claire before Yorkville was even involved. When it was just an Oswego Station, I said, we're on board with you, train cliche. But we're on board with it because, I mean, it's so important. And what helps Oswego helps us. You know, and I hate to use harsh words like cut the plane on wall, but you're adding an extra $100 million to the project while they try to get it far. And that's what they need to realize, you know. And it'd be a shame if people in the western part of the county said, well, we're not going to support it because it only comes out to the eastern part of the county. And that's where you really need to get the point across, that it's a regional project. Chris?
Just a question. Did Randy Holcomb sign a letter actually supporting the study and continuing with it? Because I know that all of our state representatives, senators, and my understanding was he was the only congressman not to actually do a letter of support for the project.
Is that true, or he didn't want to sign ours and he did his own?
I think that was it. I'll have to confirm with Dan DeSanto who was coordinating it. I think that's what occurred.
I thought I saw a letter from Holcomb. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But he didn't want to sign on to ours. They did their own letter.
Okay. I just want to make sure that he is, because I knew of the group letter that he did not sign it,
right.
Which I did find strange. If he did one of his own, that's fine, but I would still, why not sign on with the group with the rest of them?
You know, he has some different rules in our state legislature. I know I asked for a letter of support for our senior housing so they can get their grades, and his letter had to go through the House Ethics Committee and some other stuff, you know? So
I just want to make sure that he is totally
he seemed genuine and supportive in that meeting.
Because he has a lot of power as being on the Transportation Commission.
He's not anymore, though, is he?
Did he move off that this?
Yeah, he's on science. His first 2 years, he was on transportation.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is anymore or not.
It doesn't look like he did sign a letter of support. So
not at all?
It doesn't look like it does. Cool.
That concerns me. I'll be very frank with that. If he, as our representative, hasn't signed a letter of support for it, I think we need to partner.
I don't disagree. Yes, Ken.
One question I had, because it kind of affects how it goes in West Perry. At one time they talked about the north side of what's there now, and then the time we talked about something on the south side of the track. And where is the study at regarding that now? Is it, do they even know which side they would go to? Because if you went to if it was going to be on the south side of the track, then pretty much you can't go much further than us, right?
I don't know.
If it's on the north side of the track, you would have a corridor, but because the Oswego Station now is on the south side.
Do you mean river?
They bought some land on the north side. That would all be determined as part of the station and rail yard study, you know, at least conceptually.
So, but I mean, as far as going west of us, that's pretty dependent, right? Because you can't go.
I don't know.
You'd have to. I mean, you can't switch the track over top of the current tracks.
Sure.
That was one thing I heard about this. And the other thing was, so if I'm understanding this right, we're not, this isn't coming out of our budget, this is coming out of what's in that pot.
Yeah, the whole thing here, Mark. I mean, the
passenger
here, Mark.
And is that only for passenger type, just the rail, third rail in, or freight to live on that tour?
No idea.
Because, you know, I'm thinking of our development over there, freight-wise. Can they use that line, or is it only a passenger line?
Yeah, I don't even know if that'd be part of the Phase 1 study.
That probably would ever be on negotiates.
Yep.
I would imagine. They got a lot of say-so.
Yeah, the Metro Board had, members had mentioned both 2 weeks ago when I met with them and then at this week's meeting, was that that's part of the negotiation process with the BN. They'll come in and they'll just go, oh, we want to switch here, we want to cross over here, we want to site in here. And that's why they said, you've got this $200 to $300 million cost, and then they could add however many millions on top of it, because it's their way or, you know, or nothing. Yes. Well, the BN negotiations would actually occur fairly late in the actual design and the extension process. So that's almost like an afterthought at this point, because they have to get all their ducks in a row and then go to them and say, this is what we want to do and where, can you do this, and what is it going to cost us?
Just a question, what was the preliminary study done, I believe, back in the late 90s? Do we still have it?
Oh, yes, yeah. We both us and Oswego have reviewed it, we've summarized it, we've talked to the Metro Board members about it. A lot of the projections, both population, train count, et cetera, growth patterns, we've exceeded all of those. So, you know, I think in the 2002 study, you know, the cost was $100 million in 2002 dollars. They were saying, like, you know, six trains basically each way, each day. And there was, I think, 1,500 or so potential riders in the Yorkville area, the current population. So, you know, it was significant enough that they said that it was feasible to go to Yorkville and even to Plano. It's just when you know, Oswego has a really high potential rider count. We have a medium, and then Plano drops off, and it's still relatively sustainable. And then in Sandwich, it was only like 100 people or a couple hundred people. So that was part of the Metro Board Chairman's discussion with us, is wouldn't you rather have updated figures on these type of things in order to go to the public? And our answer is, well, yes, but that's a supplemental study. We don't see a reason, basically, it's a zero-sum game where we have to stop the engineering studies to update these figures to be able to go to the public and say, you know, we want to join the RTA, we want to get $100 million in federal funding, $50 million in state funding, and then we're going to figure out some sort of new revenue source, basically, to pay for the existing trains. So there's just a lot of things still to be determined.
And I just wanted to clarify, you know, before we're talking about cutting Plano off, things like that, I don't really see it as that. I see it as, you know, to get into Kendall County, the shortest path is Oswego. Mm-hmm. It's the first city you hit. So Yorkville's not being cut out. Our commute's being reduced from driving to Aurora to driving to Oswego. Plano's commute's being reduced from driving to Aurora to driving to Oswego. Same thing with Sandwich. So those individuals are being cut out. They're saving 20, 30, 40 minutes in their commute because they don't have to go into Aurora. So I really don't see it as anybody being cut out. I think Oswego's lucky that they are in the easternmost part of the county, so they get the first bite of the apple. And then over time, as the county expands, maybe the line continues. But I don't think we can be greedy. I think we need to get the line into Kendall County. That will serve, as like Mayor said, it's a regional project. It's not Oswego's train station. It's for Kendall County. I think everybody can be able to take advantage, no matter what community you live in. So I hope Plano and Sandwich don't interpret this as being cut out. It is dipping into our county to service the whole county. There won't be a station in Yorkville if it's fine. It's in Oswego, but I would still support it. So.
Anyone else? All right, so everyone's on board with moving forward with these studies, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Bart, are you related to Dan and Neil?
Yes.
I don't even know if we need another meeting, but I'm sure we can relay that information. But if they want to meet again, we'll meet again.
Yeah, go forward with the studies, and then we're okay with it. And basically, if it has to, it helps the project go along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Only other additional business I have was We had a very, very nice ribbon cutting yesterday for our new little free library at the Parks and Rec building. A bunch of brownies built a nice new little free library. And they were very excited about it. And you get your children over there to borrow a book, leave a book, and you go on littlefreelibrary.org or some webpage like that and see where all the little free libraries are. This was Yorkville's first. Good day. Architecture session, any citizen comments? Oh, and by the way, I did want to mention during the budget conversation when we were talking about YEC, I do hope that the new check is around for as long as I am mayor. So I hope the board hears my my desire on that. Nothing